It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Welcome back. Here we are, Cofield and Company on a Wednesday. Appreciate Caleb. He does a great job breaking down UNLV football for us. We've got Nye, Justin Watkins, and Alex White here with you on this Wednesday. Let's talk about some WNBA. We talked about NBA in preseason, getting ready for their regular season, but we've got finals basketball in the W. New York Liberty, Minnesota Lynx, tied up right now, 1-1 in this series, and now they go to Minnesota. Liberty's about a 3.5-point favorite in this one. Interested on how you guys think game three is going to go. I mean, that building is going to be electric. The Lynx are very hungry, but Liberty, I mean, after coming off that loss last year against the Aces, they have just been a different team this year. Nye, what do you think happens tonight?
The thing with the Lynx is that they can't allow Liberty to get off to a fast start, because when they do, it's really, truly no stopping them. Like Breonna Stewart said, the main things that they have to focus on is their offensive game, their defensive game, and just knowing how to execute. If they could immediately do that, granted the Lynx are, if not the, or one of the best defensive teams in the leagues, they got to play. Every girl has to do their part. I will say, the Liberty against the Aces, right? When the Aces had beat them in game three, Liberty came back out in game four and won that game. So even though it's a home court advantage for the Lynx, I think that Liberty is extremely excited for everybody to be rooting against them. And I think they'll take away game three.
Put me in the category of, I think the Liberty are going to choke. I think the Lynx are good.
Justin likes to be different.
Yeah. You know, I was going to go with the Liberty, but then Nia said she was with the Liberty. I was like, oh, you know, I got to go the opposite way. So I got to keep the show interesting. No, for real. I think the Lynx, you know, I think that they think that this is the opening of a potential run for them of multiple championships. And it may be a year too early, and maybe this is the Liberty's year. But I think the Liberty are sort of on the middle or tail end of their championship opening, so I'm gonna take the younger, hungrier team. Wow. Give me the Lynx. I think the team that lost, you know, in the finals two times, I'm gonna say we're gonna make it three.
Ooh. I'm gonna have to go with the Liberty here, and I'm gonna say Stewie already had her choking moment. She missed that layup in game one to get that win, so she's gonna bounce back from there. But it's 4 o'clock. We've got to get to the big four at four.
Battleborn Injury Lawyers presents The Big Four at Four. Number four.
Aubrey Plaza getting lit at WNBA Finals Game 1, caught reading a book. Justin, do you read books when you're at really high-stake games?
No, I don't. I mean, I barely read books when I'm supposed to be reading books at home when it's quiet and everybody's asleep. The only time I think you would expect to see this is, I'd say, give me at a golf mat, get any of the country club sports, golf, tennis. I could see somebody getting caught reading a book. Regular season or spring training baseball is also, I'll put in the realm of acceptability. But the WNBA or the NBA, it's so loud in there, and they're playing music all the time, and there's constant activity. Unless it was like some book related to basketball and learning the rules, I'm going to say I'm a hard no on that. Just let somebody else use the ticket that actually wants to watch the game.
Aubrey Plaza, she's hilarious. You know, she was really just trolling and doing this for fun, so I thought it was pretty funny. I hope she was, and she wasn't really reading a book. Let's go to number three.
Number three.
Call Her Daddy host Alex Cooper states that she was so happy that she trusted herself and fought for this after signing a three-year, $125 million deal to take Call Her Daddy to SiriusXM earlier this year. Alex, I want you to start with this one, okay? What do you think? What do you think about this deal?
So this is kind of new to me. Somebody might have to break it down even more. After signing a three-year, $125 million deal to take her podcast to SiriusXM, so what is she complaining about here?
She's not complaining about anything. I mean, when I read the news story, I thought, dang, did Alex White change her last name to Cooper? Good for her. Go get that Circa Millions. Turn it into a podcast. You know, I think the timing, she's shown the ability to get some, you know, high profile names on the show. I mean, she just had Kamala Harris on the show. I think that's a pretty big get for a podcast. I thought she did a good job in that interview. I don't feel like she was throwing softballs. I thought she held her own. And so I think the timing's good. And I think it's just, it's great to see the non-traditional media talent coming out there, getting to have a voice, spreading it across, and then now, you know, getting these deals that allow more people to hear it in a higher level platform. It's great.
So she's happy she trusted herself and stayed with this non-traditional.
Yes.
Okay, I understand. So very good.
$125 million. I'm about to make a podcast. It's going to be Call Her Mama Nye. $125 million? I'm doing it.
We'll be
now.
Your first guest. Number two.
Number two.
Skip Bayless envies the freedom at Barstool Sports. They can say the F word. They can say pretty much anything they want to. Man, I do envy their anatomy, their independence, and their freedom. Justin, give me a take.
Yeah, I love it too. You know, I love it as a listener. I mean, I don't agree with everything that Barstool does, but I'm the kind of type of person that I'm not going to get offended if something is not in line with my opinion. You know, I think that is what's really attracted a big audience to Pat McAfee, although he's got a foot in both sides of traditional media, but he still has, you know, the hour before where they're dropping F-bombs and they're, you know, a little looser and less corporate with the, right, with the rules. I personally prefer the unfiltered version of my sports media specifically. I will say, like, you know, if we're talking about news and politics, I tend to be more traditional in my news consumption there. But sports media, man, let's go. I mean, it's really all about a bunch of people getting together in a fictitious bar and talking their way through some common sports interest, right?
It's funny to hear this comment come from Skip because he was about as extreme as there was, right, with Stephen A. And then some others can kind of fit into that. So him being envious does make sense. But it's like you were already pushing it as far as you could. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing these other people and you want to go even farther. So can't really blame him, though, because they are definitely having fun. Barstool Sports and Pat McAfee. But let's go to number one.
Number one.
Stephen A. Smith believes the New York Mets postseason success has motivated the Yankees to play at a higher level. And of course, I'm going to Justin with this one because he is the baseball fan and I haven't trolled him yet. But the Padres are out of it. Of course, you don't care about my opinion.
Yeah.
But give me your opinion in regard to this take.
Yeah.
No, I had to troll you a little bit.
I mean, they go out with what, like 21 straight scoreless innings to end their postseason run after that magical second half? Yeah, it's tough day as a Padres fan. As I told all the people who were all excited for me when they were when they won that first round, is like, hey, I'm not gonna get too excited. This is what the Padres do. My entire fandom, they give you enough hope that you start to think maybe this is the year, and then they pull the rug out from under you. And speaking of Yankees, you know, that's the last time the Padres were in the World Series, 1998 against the Yankees. Yankees won that series. I do agree with Stephen A. Smith here. I do think that the Yankees and the Mets do follow each other through common media. I mean, I don't think they're like actually paying attention to exactly what each individual player is doing, each individual game is doing. But the same media is covering both teams, and there is going to be a ton of crossover in the way the teams are covered. And like for instance, you know, John Sterling was just super critical of the Yankees base running in their game last.
Oh my gosh, that was hilarious.
It was awesome. It was awesome because he's such a homer, but it was just nice to hear him not be a homer. Now, do you think, you know, that those types of questions are going to be asked to Mets players about the Yankees base running, and the whatever they comment will get back to the Yankees players? So yeah, I do think those two teams motivate each other, and when one is taking the oxygen out of the room and getting more press, mm-hmm, I think the other feels it.
Who are you taking in the World Series?
Well, let's get to the World Series first. Who do I think is going to win the whole thing?
Yeah.
I think it might be a little early, but whatever.
I think depending on pitcher health, I think the Dodgers have the horses.
I'm excited to hear which team is yours.
Dodgers is my team, but okay. He told me last week, because I am not like the biggest baseball watcher. My family...
She's not a baseball watcher at all.
Okay, well, until it gets to the most important times, like now, then I'll tune in because it's important. But I will say, my family are all diehard Dodgers fans. My dad is an avid baseball watcher. I'm personally just not. But no matter what, I'm going to root for the teams that my family likes. And he told me so hard last week because I was wearing my Dodgers fit and it was super white and clean. And he's like, you've never wore that before. And I'm like, I can still be a fan if it's bred from my family.
No, you typically
like what your family likes.
No. Fan means fanatic. You're just a viewer at that point. You are an interested viewer. You are not a fan. You're not a fanatic.
I am. I am going to rep Dodgers no matter what.
I don't know how you're trying to support your position by saying I only watch when it's the most important.
That totally undercuts you.
That means you're not a fan.
I'm just being honest.
I'm not going to
just act like, you know, I just know everything about the team because
let's get your nomenclature right. You're not a fan.
I still am a fan no matter what. I'm allowed to have a team.
You're a supporter. Yeah.
I'm a fan. I just want to say,
I'm with Stephen A. Smith as well, though. I think the Yankees are playing much better because of this Mets team. They were the hottest team in August, got their way into the postseason, and now they are still playing great baseball. We're seeing the Yankees come alive here. They're probably tired of all this grimace talk, right? And they want to be the team in New York. Are we okay with a Yankees-Dodgers?
That would be awesome.
Oh, I would take... I think Yankees-Mets would be cool. Yankees-Dodgers is fine. I mean...
Basically, Cleveland is the only one that no one's really rooting for.
Well, I would actually... I would rather see Cleveland than anybody.
Yeah.
They got three former Oregon Staters on their baseball team. And so I'm a supporter of Cleveland and the former Beaver players. But they... The odds are stacked against them at this point, down 0-2, so I don't know that they're gonna survive. But I would love to see Cleveland in there, but I've already written them off, sort of.
Speaking of Cleveland, they're back in Cleveland today. Matthew Boyd on the mound, so we'll see how they do.
Oregon State grad.
Okay.
Matthew Boyd.
Okay, there is one of them. That's it for our 4 at 4. That is not it. We're going to keep this going. Anything more for the World Series and this game tonight with Matthew Boyd? How was he in college?
Oh, he was great. I believe he was on one of our national championship teams. I believe he was on the 2017 national championship team. I will say I had an interesting experience with that when I went up to the Reno Beavers game last week, which I have to say, proud of the Beaver fans. We filled our half of the stadium. Reno did not fill their half of the stadium very well. We did pretty good on our part. But there, I went to a tailgate that was a very friendly crowd both ways. There was no sort of animosity or brutality there. And I was at a blended tailgater with a couple of former Oregon State baseball players who were on the national championship team, but their son played for Reno. So they were all garbed out in Reno stuff, and I got a sweet, I will say, the Wolfpack has the best college baseball hat I've ever seen. It's got the N with the background being the battle born of the flag.
Ooh.
I got one. We're gonna try to bite off a little piece of that for Battleborn
like
and Dude Lawyers. I'll figure it out. We'll get it figured out.
I'm glad that you gave a shout out to Reno because they have joined us now here in this 4 o'clock hour, but we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be right back here on Cofield & Company.
It's Cofield & Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Here we go, Cofield & Company. I'm Alex White alongside Nye Zaragoza and Justin Watkins. Justin was impressed by that. Do a lot of people mess up your last name?
More or less. I feel like a lot of people actually do really well with it.
I've never missed it. I've nailed it every time.
But you don't know how to say it the way that it's actually supposed to be pronounced. My last name's from Spain. Everybody has this last name, but it's supposed to be pronounced like Zaragoza.
Okay.
But we just say Zaragoza. But people do pretty well with it.
I don't mispronounce it. I pronounce it exactly how you pronounce it when you tell me your name.
You're an attorney, dude.
I was just going to say, Justin, you went to law school.
Yeah, you were very smart. I'm sure you know how to pronounce
exactly how you say it to me. So don't give me the Zaragoza when you don't say it that way.
But that's the right way.
I'm just giving you some knowledge. I'm of the Ed name. Kelsey approach to names. Your name is however you want to say it. And that's how, you know, because famously their real name is Kels. But when he would call
him
to work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They called him Kelsey, like, you know, just as a nickname. And we still call him Kelsey. And like, then it just stuck because he liked it the way that sounded better. So Ed Kelsey was just like, yeah, we're Kelsey now.
Okay.
Just changed it.
That's so funny.
Yeah. So, Zaragoza.
Okay, Mr. Attorney.
Yeah.
So, earlier we talked about Devontae Adams going to the Jets and Amari Cooper now going to Buffalo, but we didn't really get to dive into it. These are two very intriguing trades, some big wide receiver moves. Both teams clearly needed a wide receiver. Which team do you think benefits more from this and needed this wide receiver one the most?
I mean, I'll jump in, and I love that both these moves happened in the same division. You know, it's great. I think they're trying in that division. I think that Amari Cooper to the Bills has a bigger impact to the success of the team than Devontae Adams to the Jets for a couple reasons. I don't necessarily think that the problem with the Jets is receiver. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers of 3 years ago. I mean, now, will it help that they've played together so much that maybe he can get the ball out a little quicker? Clearly, he's not the mobile quarterback he used to be.
Right.
He can't buy extra time like he used to. Some of those sacks, I mean, he only got a couple steps, you know. So, whereas I do believe that the Bills have their quarterback in their prime, and you add in a receiver who's 2 years younger, they're both, you know, 30 and north. So it's they're not, the receivers aren't in their prime, but I think that Amari Cooper can help out, help get the most production out of Josh Allen, where I just don't see the same thing for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. That's not to say that I think that the Bills will be necessarily have a better record than the Jets, because I do think, you know, when you look at point differential, the Jets are on the positive side even at 2-4. So it's like there's something there with that defense that's going to allow them to be in a lot of games, that the Bills do have a decent defense too. And I guess if gun to my head, I would say the Bills are going to get more wins than the Jets, but I think it's going to be close. I think they're going to be close.
I do too, especially in this division. Nye, what do you think? Two former Raiders wide receivers going to different spots.
I think Devontae Adams is a good addition to the Jets, but I do agree with Justin. It's more to that factor, and Aaron Rodgers has been a major focal point in regards to his play and just the overall offense as a whole. I do think Devontae Adams will be a great leader in the building, but playoffs, championship, that's really not in the picture. No, it's not. I agree that the Amari Cooper, I actually really do like that, because I liked his post that he said. He said, "You either move, you move or rest, right? And you're gonna rest with the Browns. He was gonna rest. Period. They won 1 out of 5 games. Deshaun Watson is just not the same person, especially after all the legal stuff that has been taking place with Deshaun. He's really has been falling, right? I think Amari Cooper, Josh Allen needs it."
Yes.
He needs it, right? Bills is, no matter what, a Super Bowl contending team, and Amari Cooper adding to that makes them even just that. Amari Cooper, through 6 games with the Browns, 24 catches, 250 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Now he will be the number one wide receiver going into that organization. And I don't have a hate towards the Bills, so I don't mind seeing them win games. Josh Allen has to be consistent. I feel like this year he has been. So we'll see. We'll see what the future holds.
I'll turn this a little bit to gambling, because the Jets have another standalone game, Sunday Night Football, going to Pittsburgh. And they're a 2-point favorite on the road after coming off that loss to the Bills. Do you guys agree with this number?
You know, like you said, the text read that last week, like, am I allowed to believe that the Jets are a good pick? Because I look at it and it's like, I think they might be, but I don't think I'm going to allow myself to actually pick the Jets. But I like the number. I like where they're at. But I also, I don't like picking against good coaching and, you know, low scoring defensive teams. So I'm going to stay off of it.
I don't blame you. And I don't want to use the same excuse 2 weeks in a row, right? Because I thought the firing of Robert Saleh was going to really get this locker team ready. They would see the best effort that we have seen from the Jets so far. Now I'm going to say, okay, now Davante Adams comes in here. We're going to see the best Jets that we've seen this far. So I lean more to the Steelers. I'm with you at home. Coming up, their best game of the year against the Raiders. But Justin Fields, we saw a lot out of him. Still question marks if we're going to see Russell Wilson or not, though. So that's pretty intriguing as well.
I mean, Justin Fields, you know, they won the game, but I watched major portions of that game, and he's not getting any more accurate. I mean, he missed a lot of receivers. You know, I think it's very telling that Mike Tomlin has not committed to saying he's the guy. So, you know, I have him on one of my fantasy teams, and he scores, man, because he runs the ball in. But it's like any given week now, he could just be benched, and it wouldn't surprise me at all because he's not throwing the ball well, but they are winning. And while they continue to win, I think it's going to be hard for Tomlin to make the change. But the minute they sort of lose, I wouldn't be surprised to see Russell Wilson go in.
I'm taking the Steelers. I don't necessarily want to see the Jets win because I don't agree with the Robert Saleh firing because he was such a good presence, especially on the defensive side, right? He's a defensive-minded coach, and I think that what he gave to that team was great. That was really the only answer for the Jets ownership was to get rid of Saleh. I don't think it was the overall answer, though. I do believe that the Steelers have a great defense, as we have seen, and with the way that Aaron Rodgers has been getting attacked, they're going to pressure him no matter what. It's really, truly, the Jets' offense has to perform well, and the Steelers' offense has to perform well because we know the Steelers' defense is going to perform pretty good for the most part.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in on the Robert Saleh thing just because I watched Hard Knocks, and I remember coming away from that Jet season going like, it actually made me like Aaron Rodgers a little bit more. The team really seemed to respond to him, but I was like, that's not my head coach, man. And on top of it, this is 2 years ago, right? Nathaniel Hackett is not a serious human being. Like, he is just so goofy and so weird. And, like, he appeared childish on that show that I was like, how is this the offensive coordinator here? And now here we go. The defense wasn't the problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was the offense. And Nathaniel Hackett's still on the team, and Robert Saleh's gone.
Right.
I mean, I think both of them probably should have been gone, but for sure should have started with Nathaniel Hackett a little while ago.
Well, and that's up to Robert Saleh, right? He is running the team. Mm-hmm. He sees the overall. So the rumors coming out after the fact that he got fired, that he was just about to demote Nathaniel Hackett, it's like a little too late here, right? This offense has struggled for 2 years now, and I don't know how many wins they had, 7 or 8 last year with no quarterback play. So yes, Robert Saleh's defense is very impressive, but at the same time, you got to make the changes for the good of winning, right? And not just for one player. And I know he's trying to keep Aaron Rodgers happy.
Mm-hmm.
Make the changes in the offseason.
No, it's just like we were talking about. It's about well-run and poorly run organizations, right? And, you know, Nathaniel Hackett was only hired for Aaron Rodgers. Clearly he's been, and he's still there, I'm sure, because of Aaron Rodgers. You know, I don't even think he's got a real title. He's like advisor to something, and he's up in the press box, and he's still got the headset on, you know, but his mouth isn't moving anymore calling any plays.
Well, I thought their offense looked better.
Yes.
Giving the play calling to Downing, I definitely thought they improved there, and they very easily could have won that game. I mean, two missed field goals at the end, and I know it was windy, and there was only 6 points in that second half, which is crazy when we saw that first half of them going back and forth, but it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Jets. Still very high hopes, I think, for Jets fans. And now they're just giving them more high hopes, getting a new wide receiver in there. So we'll see what happens.
Wait, can we talk about that, guys? Right. I know I'm not sure if we're going to be talking about this anymore soon, but Davante Adams is set to play. Is this yes or no?
He's playing.
Coming off the hamstring injury. I mean, I don't mean to open up another topic, right? But what? Was that fake? Was it exaggerated? I mean, Griffin, I want you to actually chime in with this one because you're a football player, no matter what. Does a hamstring injury heal that fast?
Griffin, I'm just going to give you some legal advice. Do not say it was fake. That's a statement of fact.
Right, right. Not
factual statements.
Okay, was it exaggerated? Can we say that?
Exaggerated? Possibly. I've had multiple hamstring injuries during my time playing. And I can tell you right now, it took me out once at the beginning of a training camp. I pulled my hamstring. And it got me so good that I couldn't return back. Get back to practice until the final, I think it was like the final game of spring training. So like I've had to miss that whole entire time with it. If it's a real hamstring injury, I don't think you're coming back in 3 weeks. It's just a little suspicious to me. But then again, it goes in line with what's been going on with Devontae and Aaron Rodgers and the Jets and McAfee. It's all just, it's a ploy and I hate it.
Speaking of Pat McAfee, we're going to talk about him more because he had some statements about his role on College Game Day. And we're also going to bring up more about Barstool and Bussin' with the Boys and Will Compton when we get back.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
It is Cofield and Company. Welcome in, Reno. I know you have been here for 30 minutes. And Las Vegas, of course. No Cofield today, though. We've got Alex, Justin, and Nye here with you. And Griffin, of course, on every Cofield and Company. Griffin, I teased Buzzin' with the Boys with Will Compton. What is this story about?
Yeah, basically, one of my personal favorite shows. I don't really watch too much from Barstool, but Bussin' the Boys, it is a podcast with former NFL players Taylor Lewan, Will Compton. They recently just interviewed former president and presidential candidate Donald Trump. It was an interesting platform for Trump to be appearing on for an interview. During the interview, there was a segment where the two hosts, former NFL players, asked Trump about, you know, him possibly being, you know, playing football back in the day. And there was a part where Trump said something about not wanting to be hit and kind of admitting that, you know, football's a rough sport. And if he was playing today, he probably wouldn't want to do it. That got a laugh out of the hosts. And then following, Will Compton posted a video where he let everybody know that the Washington Post reached out to him to ask about why they laughed at that comment Trump made about football. And basically, Compton basically just said that the Washington Post is trying to spin the narrative. Everyone's trying to use their interview politically to attack Trump. So basic, and then at the end of that video where he's explaining everything, he lets out a fart noise, let him know how he felt about the Washington Post reaching out for that comment. So basically, I put this in because I want to see what you guys have to say about, you know, interviews with presidential candidates and former presidents used to be, you know, save for platforms that are a little bit more serious, a little bit more, you know, to the numbers. How do you feel about this interview being done on a platform like Barstool Sports, like a show like Bussin' with the Boys? Do you think it was the right place for it?
I personally love it. I mean, I love that all candidates of all parties, you know, are going and doing podcasts. I mean, I think we saw Tim Walz on, like, What's Your Take on the Subway in New York, which is just a very New York-centric podcast, and he had a funny little take about cleaning out gutters on there. I like that, and this isn't the first one that Trump did that was in a podcast scene in non-traditional media. I think if you're trying to run for national office, you've got to do these things. You got to take these opportunities, and you know, whether or not I agree with the candidates or not is beside the point. I'm just from the perspective of a voter who is trying to make themselves informed, I think actually this non-traditional media is going to give you a little bit more insight into their personality and to their character, and not some preordained message that comes down and is sanitized by all of their political people. So I appreciate that. I especially like how Will Compton responded to this, which is basically like, I know what you're going to try to do with the fact that we were laughing, and I'm not going to participate in that. Yeah, I'm not going to let you use it one way or another. Even if my implication was, even if I agree with why you say I was laughing, I'm not going to give it to you, because then people won't come onto our show and they won't do this if they think we're laughing at the candidate. And I tend to agree. I think where Washington Post was probably going to go here was Donald Trump's quote was, he didn't want to be hit by somebody who's been lifting weights all day long and came from a bad neighborhood. I think that last little bit opens up to, you know, potential criticism.
Justin is the opposite of get off my lawn guy, and I absolutely love it. Because you're all for this non-traditional media, and you want your sports media talk a little bit looser, not so buttoned up and boring. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, the rest of the world likes it too. So, you know, I could sit and be the old man watching, you know, traditional linear TV news at 5 o'clock, like how I grew up. That's what my parents did because that's when the news came on. Or I can be with the times.
Griffin, did you have an opinion, yes or no, on?
I love this podcast. I've been watching for a few years. I love how humorous it is. Obviously, really big sports theme with the show. I think I agree with Justin. I like that it's not so formal. I like that we're combating against traditional ways of media, kind of trying to influence politics, get in and, you know, kind of control the narrative. So I don't hate it. The fart noise was a little bit much, though.
It's Cofield and Company's Eye on Sports Gambling, presented by Oasis Bar and Grill, only on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Reno.
Oasis Bar and Grill, one of the best local spots in Las Vegas. Make sure and check them out. This is Cofield and Company with Alex, Nye, and Justin. We made it to the sports betting segment here at 4:45. We've got a lot to talk about. Another big college football weekend. Week 8 in college football. Week 7 in the NFL. I'm getting confused now. We're getting so far down the line. But Justin, big or really good college football weekend for you last weekend. I wasn't quite as good. One contest I did go 5-2. One I went 4-3. So at least a winning.
Yes.
But hoping to do even better this weekend. So we're going to get into some of the biggest games on the board. And you have 5 that actually jumped out to you. So let's start with this Alabama-Tennessee game, though. It is very intriguing. Both teams have one loss on their resume. And we know with this new format, we're kind of projecting no team wants more than one, right, to get into that 12 seed.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know what the SEC is going to do. There's going to be 2 losses in there. But
there will be.
Based on the last 2 weeks of Alabama, this week, I don't normally bet a lot of SEC. I don't feel like I'm as knowledgeable on football over there. I'm mostly betting West Coast teams that I see more often. But this week I found myself heavy in the SEC, and it's based on using where I think the public and the sports books are using Alabama as this sort of measuring stick. And so, like, the Volunteers getting 3 at home against Alabama just was like a bright white light of you need to bet Tennessee here to me. I do not believe in Alabama. I do not believe in their defense. I do not believe in their offense. I think Milroe is good, but right. He does, you know, there's only so much he can do. That offensive line is weak. And I think Tennessee at home, where they show up and it's, you know, huge crowd and they play well. I like Tennessee on this. I would even go money line on this.
I'm with you. And especially as you mentioned, Tennessee at home, that doesn't seem like it's really added into this line here with Alabama being a 3-point favorite on the road. And yes, they are crazy. And Tennessee's defense has actually been better than Alabama's. It's almost like Alabama got their big win over Georgia and then they kind of just like relaxed a little bit, like, okay, we beat Georgia. Now the rest should be easy, and it has not been easy by any means. I mean, they lose to Vandy and then played a very close game last weekend against South Carolina.
Well, and that's what jumped me on another game is, you know, South Carolina is going to Oklahoma. Oklahoma is only favored by 1.5. And again, this is a situation where I think now people are giving credit to South Carolina for losing a game they probably should have won and that they outplayed Alabama, thinking that Alabama is this top 10 team. Alabama is not a top 10 team. If their resume and they played the exact same game and they were in an Oregon State uniform, they would not be in the top 25. That's my belief. And I mean, they're better than Oregon State, but my point is they're getting credit for the crimson color instead of what they're actually doing. So I don't think Oklahoma is as bad as maybe they looked against Texas, because I think Texas is the best team in the country. And I definitely don't think South Carolina is nearly as good as people think they are because they almost beat Alabama. So give me Oklahoma minus the 1.5.
So is that, since you are the really big, you're crazy when it comes to college football, I'd love to hear you. Is that the most exciting that you're looking forward to?
I mean, I got a bunch this week, you know, but
what's
like,
what are you going to be watching?
Well, I'll be in Oregon, right? So I'm going to be at the stadium. That's a night game. That's at 7 o'clock. So, yeah, I'll probably get into this. I hate giving too much viewership. I like to watch the game where I've picked something that's a little bit off the radar for me that week. That pick would be I've got Nebraska. Give me the 6.5 points playing undefeated Indiana team. I think Nebraska has got a chance to win. I haven't watched both of those teams very often, so I'll probably and they're Big Ten, so they're an early game, so I'll probably watch that game.
I want to hear your take. You're the really big sport. So I'm new. I've been learning sports betting. It's been something that's kind of been like a bit of my project because, like we were speaking about earlier, I hate losing. I hate it, especially when you're actually putting money on it, even though everyone's just doing it for fun. So from a professional standpoint, what are you paying attention to?
Well, I do like that Nebraska-Indiana game because those are two really good quarterbacks. And what Kurt Seganetti has done over there, Indiana, is very impressive. Mm-hmm. I am intrigued with the total. I think that that's going to be a high-scoring game and that they could both put some points on the board. They both played, you know, pretty tough, good defenses. Then we're kind of getting a low number there. On the other side, I think Justin is dead on with his SEC takes because I do think I have Oklahoma favored. I make my own numbers and then like to compare them to the board to see if it's different, right? And that's how I make my bets. I know.
I love it.
Oklahoma bigger favorite than what they are on the board at 3. I actually made him a 6-point favorite at home against South Carolina. So that would be a play for me too. And then the big game, of course, Texas is hosting Georgia. Now that number has moved today. And my dad and I talked about that on our show Sports by the Book this morning. Both of us like Texas. It was 3.5. And now I believe it has bumped up. They're like a 4.5 or 5-point favorite. I should double check that line.
With your numbers.
Did you know what you liked in that one? Sorry.
No, you're good. With your numbers, what are you specifically paying attention to as to why it's consistently changing?
So after each Saturday and the whole college football games are over, I usually do on Sundays while I'm watching NFL, go through all the box scores and look where the game finished. And update my numbers according to where the betting line was, where it moved to, and then how the game actually, what the results were. So it's a lot of work, but it's so much fun, and it's very rewarding when you update and change your numbers and are going in the right direction, right? And then how you see teams. Like Justin, for instance, would be bringing Alabama down each week and not have them in his top 10 because he hasn't seen the production from them.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, the initial number with Texas I saw 3. I thought it opened up, or 3.5. Okay. I think Texas is the best team in the country. But I also, I just don't have enough knowledge about Georgia yet. You know, the loss to Alabama is looking worse and worse each week. So if we're using that system I used over the first two picks, then I got to go Texas, right? But I didn't bet that game. I stayed off.
It's very hard. Yeah. I mean, Kirby Smart is a very good coach. He will have his team ready. So that is a tougher one, I think, to handicap. Anything jump off the board for you two? Or what are you looking forward to for NFL this week? Any of these games? Justin, do you have an NFL team?
I'm a Chargers fan.
Okay.
Yeah. So another team that always pulls the rug out from under me. You know, I mean, I'm an old school San Diego Chargers fan. But
hey, you have to be excited, right? Harbaugh has done a great job so far here. And then last week, I've talked about this on my other shows too. I love what we saw from the offense. They finally let Justin Herbert actually throw the ball. And the first few weeks, it was just run the ball, right? Yeah. And play at a very slow pace. And you don't sound that excited at all.
I need a couple more weeks. Okay. I need a couple more weeks. I mean, I think Harbaugh's a good coach. You know, funny enough, when I was in law school down in San Diego, he was the coach of that school, University of San Diego. And Josh Johnson was the quarterback. And then he went to Stanford and then went on to the Niners. I just wonder, it seems like every place he's gone, other than his alma mater, he's sort of worn people down and wore people out. But you usually get a couple good seasons out of it. I just don't know if we have the roster to actually get those good seasons before he starts wearing people down and wearing people out. I do think you got to let Herbert throw. I will say this. This sounds funny coming from a Chargers fan, but I do think Herbert is overrated.
You do.
Know, when he's being paid as like a top five quarterback in the league, I do not think he's a top five quarterback in the league. Do I think he's top 10? I do. But not top five. He's not one of the elite passers in the game. And I don't think we're going to see anything in Harbaugh's offense that gets me off that opinion, because they're not going to allow him to have that freedom and flexibility to prove me wrong. So he's going to be in a more of a game management role. From the NFL lines, I haven't – nothing jumped at me like the college. To be fair, I watch – a lot of college football,
right?
And I do watch NFL, but mostly through Red Zone. I love Red Zone, so you don't really get a feel for what's actually happening from a team by team perspective that way. So I'm not as successful in the NFL betting as I am in college.
Two games I want to hear your opinion on, then, Alex. Obviously, the two that I'm excited about is going to be Texans Green Bay, very very good matchup, and the Lions and the Vikings.
Ooh, that Ooh. Lions and Vikings.
Tell me what you think.
That division game is going to be a very good game. Okay, let me pull up my NFL numbers right here. But
You know what was funny, Alex, is we're in that Circa Millions together, and you called me out for trying to bet a Thursday game, and you're like, oh, I like a Thursday game. And I didn't realize who the Thursday matchup was, but I actually liked the opposite side of you. I like the Saints in that matchup.
You do, because of the huge swing?
Yes.
I like the Saints in that matchup, too. I like the Saints.
And Sertan's out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know who is all out on the Saints side?
Well, their quarterback.
Yeah. We've got just Derek Carr. Yeah, just Derek Carr. And Olave.
Yeah, but they put up points last week.
Olave's out, too.
Yeah.
And there's That's another true. Wide receiver, too. It's going to be
That game could be a toss-up.
Whew.
It could
Broncos
be a toss-up.
Suck.
Broncos suck. You're saying that because the Chargers just beat them?
No. I think Bo Nix is overrated, too. I think they have really protected him in the passes that they allow him to even attempt. I think the Saints still have the ability to score. They showed that last week. I think they will score. I don't know that the Broncos score very much.
It's going to be a good defensive game as well. The Saints had a few defensive touchdowns and a punt return. For a touchdown, so we'll see if they can do that again here. That was a tough matchup for them against Tampa
Niners
Bay, though.
Niners Chiefs, that's another good. That's three already very
Niners
good matchups.
Favorite.
Yes, Niners favorite on the road.
On the road in Kansas City.
And the Chiefs are undefeated.
I just need to know if Taylor's going to be in the house. If Taylor's in the house.
Oh, no, on the road. They're in San Francisco. I'm sorry, yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they were
I
in
heard
Kansas
Griffin
City.
Yesterday
oh, okay.
complain about, he's tired of hearing about Taylor Swift, so maybe we should not bring her up today.
Well, first of all, I was not complaining about Taylor Swift. I was complaining about having to hear about date night every freaking week.
Oh, true.
Week.
Because you do like Taylor Swift. You're just tired of hearing about their life.
Love me some Tay Swift. So. Love me some music from Tay Swift. And Travis Kelce, I respect him as a Hall of Fame tight end, one of the best to ever do it. Stop telling me about their freaking date nights every week. I
Who's
don't want to hear
about their date nights.
Every media outlet out there.
What do you find? What's your algorithm spitting out to you?
It's nasty. I got to get a new phone or something, because it's just all it comes up on my feed.
Yeah, well, you must be paying attention to it because it keeps feeding it back to you, right?
I keep looking up new Taylor Swift album. Nope, here's their date night on Wednesday. Here's what happened on Tuesday.
Okay, so it's in San Francisco. I was like, that one seemed odd if it was in... Okay, so I don't know. I mean, Kansas City's not going to go undefeated. They have enough championship experience that they know the regular season. You know, they've already got off to that 4-0 start. I think you're going to see them take their foot off the gas here in the middle of stretch and then turn it on towards the end. Just because, dude, when you're playing in the Super Bowl every year, your off-season's shorter.
Yes, it
And
is.
They got out to a good start, and now they can cruise a little bit. So I'm off that game.
And the Niners, I mean, they're coming off a very big Super Bowl loss. So
you have to add the revenge in there. That is true.
Revenge game.
Yes, it is. To go back to your question, though, I do lean to the Packers at home against the Texans, and then the Vikings and Lions. Ooh, Lions getting points.
That's a tough one.
Sign me up.
Yep, me too.
And I know the Vikings have been good. Justin, we appreciate you. I know we're losing you for the next hour or so. Battleborne injuries.